Hi, friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Well Then podcast, a show where we talk about all things mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being so that you can live your most vibrant and love-filled life. I'm your host, Megan Shearer, and today's episode is another solo deep dive in the series about healing from chronic illness. So this particular episode is going to be half of a two-part longer episode. I wanted to break it down into two to make it a little bit more digestible about my own personal story of getting diagnosed and healing from chronic Lyme disease and kind of a host of other autoimmune conditions and related diagnoses to that. If you've been following me on social media for a while, then you've seen bits and pieces of that journey over the last 4+ years. But I really wanted to wait to give it some time, to give myself some time to process everything that I have been through over the last few years before doing a deeper dive here on the podcast. And again, if you follow me on social media, you might have seen me share about a month ago an essay that I had the opportunity to share in an essay collection where I talked a bit about this journey as well. So this is going to be kind of an expansion on that and deeper dive. And surrounding the episodes that I've been putting out there with some other guest experts who specialize in the realm of chronic illness, and particularly working with women with chronic symptoms, chronic pain, autoimmune diseases. This is something that I'm really passionate about, not only because it's something that I lived through myself and I know how absolutely terrifying and debilitating it can be to be living with chronic symptoms and to not know what's going on with you or how to fix it and to feel so kind of disconnected from your life. But I'm also really passionate about this work because there's a lot to be said about the correlations between physical symptoms in our body, chronic illness, and underlying emotional trauma experiences from our past. Somebody who has written and shared a lot about this particular field of study in this realm of work is Dr. Gabor Mate. His books are a really wonderful resource if you're curious to learn more. And he also speaks specifically to the correlation between why women make up about 80% of autoimmune diagnoses and why women more often experience chronic illness symptoms than men. And there's a lot more that we can and will say about that, but just one of the many reasons I'm passionate about this work, because I believe that we all have a right to feel at home in our bodies, to feel good in our bodies. And that doesn't mean that our bodies will feel good 100% of the time. We will experience ups and downs and aches and pains and hormonal changes and all kinds of things throughout different phases of our life. And I think most people are living in profound disconnection from their bodies. And I was one of those people for a long time, even though I prided myself on being very embodied and doing all these physical practices and taking care of my nutrition and doing all these things to manage my body, I actually didn't have a very good relationship with it and definitely didn't feel at home in it. So that's really the intention behind this sort of mini series that I'm putting out on the podcast surrounding the topic of chronic illness and chronic symptoms, is not just for people who have a diagnosed chronic illness, but really for anybody who has felt this sort of adversarial relationship with your body, where your body has symptoms and pains and frustrations, and maybe it doesn't look how you want it to look. And it feels like it's something you're like fighting against, like your body's on one team and you're on the other and you don't understand it. It's speaking a totally foreign language and you don't know why it's doing what it's doing. Of course, it's going to feel hard to feel at home in a place that feels like your adversary or your enemy. And so, again, you don't have to have a chronic illness diagnosis to benefit from listening to these episodes. It's really just a deeper awareness and exploration of how we understand and relate to our bodies. And my jumping off point for that is my experience with chronic illness and pain and all the symptoms that I've experienced, and most of which I've overcome. So, like I said, this particular piece of my story, I'm going to break down into a couple episodes. And today's episode, we're going to go over what my life looked like leading up to getting really sick and ultimately getting diagnosed, which was a long process in and of itself. I know I've had a lot of people reach out to me over the years just asking, like, how did you get answers? How did you get a diagnosis? I'm struggling to just find a doctor who will listen and take me seriously. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then in part two, I'm going to dive deeper into what my treatment protocol and process actually looked like, and what I did to heal, and what healing has looked like ever since then for me. So let's dive right in. Again, for those of you who either don't follow me on social media or are new to my world, and this might be a totally new conversation to you, I will kind of lay some of the groundwork and hopefully not repeating myself too much from things you've already heard me say. We'll dig a little deeper into it, and I'll answer some of the common questions that I get a lot of on social media, and I'll define some terms that might be helpful for you if you are new to the realm of somatic healing or kind of health and body stuff in general. So let's back it all the way up to earlier in my life. My symptoms really intensified and ultimately led to a diagnosis between 2020 and 2021. But that wasn't the first period in my life where I had experienced any sort of symptoms. And I'll talk more about what those are in a little bit as well. But I have had a history of everything from digestive issues and sort of mystery rashes and headaches. I've had a history of pretty bad concussion in a car accident in my early 20s that led to a lot of neurological symptoms for a long time, which included things like migraines and brain fog and fatigue and anxiety and depression and all kinds of not so fun stuff, not what you want to be navigating in your early 20s. But between that and, you know, some of the, like I mentioned, digestive issues I'd had since I was a teenager on and off, and just random bouts of illness, like I got an E. coli infection in my 20s. There were all these periods of time where I would not feel good in my body, whether it was stomach aches and feeling like my digestion wasn't working properly and I was always bloated or uncomfortable or constipated, or, you know, feeling like my body was achy or having the neurological symptoms after the car accident and feeling like foggy and not myself, getting mystery rashes and patches of eczema. Like there'd just be little things here and there. And sometimes they were pretty debilitating, especially after that car accident in my early 20s. But for the most part, I kind of just managed everything. Like I figured out how to adjust my diet so that my symptoms wouldn't flare up as much. And I figured out how to manage my lifestyle, like lower my stress, get enough sleep, do the things that I knew how to do to avoid symptoms. So, like, I stopped drinking. I was never a big drinker, anyways, but I eliminated that entirely. I kind of just created more of a sense of control and structure around my life to avoid feeling symptoms, feeling discomfort, feeling pain. And I remember there were a lot of times throughout my 20s where I was a little bit frustrated about that. Like it felt like I worked really, really hard just to be sort of a baseline level of healthy, like feeling okay. I spent most of my time and energy and focus and money investing in my health. I would work out all the time and try to eat a really great diet and take all these supplements and like do all the things that I knew to do to take care of my health. And then I'd see friends and peers and other people in their 20s treating their bodies like trash and feeling okay, like not feeling terrible, sometimes feeling even better than I was. And it just didn't feel fair at times. It was like, why am I working so hard to just feel okay? And then all these other people can stay out super late, eat whatever they want, drink a bunch, like not think about their bodies at all, and generally feel fine. Sure, some of them did not feel fine. Some of them felt pretty terrible, but were just willing to deal with it. I wasn't willing to deal with it. Feeling pain and discomfort in my body is something I had both like a low and high threshold for, meaning I didn't want to tolerate it at all. My baseline is I want to feel good in my body so that I can do things like play and do handstands and run and jump and hike and swim and all the things I love without having to feel yucky or heavy or tired or sick. And at the same time, I feel like I have a high pain tolerance. Like I kind of have a capacity for a lot of pain. So I don't know, it was an interesting dichotomy, but my point is, I think some people put up with a lot of discomfort in their bodies because we tend to numb and disconnect and not actually feel what's going on in the body. And it's easier than giving up our habits. So we don't want to give up like the drinks and the food and the going out and the not sleeping and however we're living our lifestyle. So I would see people doing that around me and feel like, God, what is wrong with me? That like I have to be so regimented and still just feel okay or still honestly feel sick some of the times. But I was able to manage it enough and like live my life enough that I hadn't really gotten answers up until that point. Traditional Western medicine didn't lead me very far. Doctors would tell me, like, oh, you have IBS, so just take Tums when your stomach hurts or take Advil when you have a headache, but not really digging to the root cause. And so, up until that point, I didn't really have a reason to dig into the root cause because I kept myself busy enough and managed enough. So, fast forward to later in my 20s, by this point, I had lived a lot of life. I had experienced that period of challenge and trauma in my early 20s with the car accident and a really toxic relationship and a lot of kind of back-to-back traumas that I later had to process and deal with. And then some of that resurfaced in my late 20s. Again, for those of you who've been around a while, you know that there was a big kind of lawsuit surrounding that car accident that didn't get resolved until later in my 20s. And that was a whole very stressful thing in and of itself. And around age 28, I went through a lot more loss and a lot of change. And that's when I decided to uproot my life in California and move to New York. And so I started making all these big sweeping changes in my life. I started setting a lot stronger boundaries and letting go of relationships that didn't feel aligned for me, that didn't feel fulfilling and healthy. And I started letting go of old ways of being in my business and my work and kind of playing small and hiding what it was that I was really passionate about doing. And I started to step more into sharing about what it was that I loved and kind of reclaiming who I was and getting more confident in me and myself and creating space for more opportunities in my work and life and relationships for things that felt good for me. And I moved to New York and was having the time of my life there. It took me about, I think 6 months to fully move from LA to New York. I spent some time staying with family friends in the meantime and just navigating like what does the next chapter of my life look like and it's taking a little bit of a reset after a lot of difficulty. And during that period of time, I was feeling generally well. I wasn't really having any physical symptoms at that time. And then get to New York, find a place there, move in. Having so much fun, like socializing and building new community and going to events and hosting events. And the last event I hosted there was March 7th, 2020. So you can imagine the timing of having moved to New York, you know, the year before the pandemic hit. It was very interesting, bizarre timing. And suddenly I found myself totally isolated in this little apartment in Manhattan. And a lot of the people that I knew had left the city. Most people weren't socializing at that point anyway. So it was a few months of pretty intense isolation and just kind of pouring myself into my work and businesses and focusing on what I could. And during that time, I started to, let's say summer of 2020, started to have a resurgence of some of those old symptoms. Like my digestion wasn't feeling great, my body wasn't feeling great, but I was trying to do whatever I could to take care of myself and distract myself from what was going on in the world. And like I said, I had spent the year prior doing a lot of letting go, clearing out old relationships and creating space. So there was a lot of asking myself, like, what's going to fill this space next? And when I started feeling those symptoms, at first I thought, okay, I just need to slow down a little bit. I've been working a lot because I work from home and there's not a lot else happening right now. So I'd been pushing myself to work really hard. And once we were able to travel again, started traveling to see friends and family. So I wasn't as isolated. And I thought maybe I just need to like rest a little more, be really diligent about my nutrition and yoga and sleep. I had definitely fallen into a pattern during the early days of the pandemic of staying up too late and binge watching something on Netflix and then waking up and scrolling social media and starting the workday all over again, which I think a lot of us did things like that during that time. So wasn't super hard on myself about it, but I thought I just needed a reset, needed a break. So I did the things I knew to do to quote unquote reset my health, my body, and nothing was really changing. Things actually started to get a little bit worse. And by the tail end of 2020, my symptoms had escalated into this full-blown bout of mystery chronic illness. I was having my eyes swollen shut when I'd wake up, and these big rashes on my face and body, really intense fatigue and migraines and brain fog and joint pain and digestive issues. And it just felt like my body was going absolutely haywire. And I had no idea what was going on. The first few weeks, I was just kind of in shock, like, oh, what is my body doing right now? Like, what do I need to do to figure this out? So after a few weeks when nothing was really working or changing, that's when I started to reach out and seek practitioners in the New York area. I started looking for any type of doctor I could who might be able to support me. So since I was new to the city just prior to the pandemic, I didn't have, my usual medical support system. I didn't have a doctor yet or a dentist. Like, I had to find all those things. So I got, a doctor, and I got an acupuncturist, and a couple other practitioners. Trying to remember now, there were like six different people I saw at the time, and they ran blood tests and labs and gave me each of their unique opinions, and they all had differing opinions, but none of them were really able to give me an answer as to what was going on in my body. It was a lot of like, let's just wait it out and see. Let's run more blood tests and see. And in a lot of the blood tests, there was nothing really conclusive. Like, they were like, your hormone levels are fine, so it doesn't really seem hormonal. Like, blood cell count's fine. There was nothing really that they could point to in the labs that they were running to give me an answer about what was going on with me. Meanwhile, I was just getting worse and worse throughout the first half of 2021. Really for those 6 months, about January to June, I was just getting worse. The swelling, the rashes, the pain, the inflammation, the fatigue, like could not get out of bed, couldn't move, which wasn't great for living in New York at the time because I was in a fifth floor walk-up apartment. And, in New York City, you walk everywhere. You walk to get groceries. I carried my Christmas tree home like 10 blocks that year, which is a lot for somebody who's not feeling well. Everything that you have to do to like live life there just takes more effort, and I could barely get out of bed most days. It was really hard. It was really defeating and demoralizing, and in a lot of ways it was really shameful for me. I'd spent so many years prioritizing my health and teaching about health and wellness, both physically and mentally, and to be in this place where I was suddenly so sick and could not point to the solution or identify like what was actually wrong and how to fix it. It felt really shameful. And I didn't know how to show up in my work, in the world anymore. And there was this part of me that felt like I should have this figured out. I should have the answers. I should have it all together. And then there was the other part of me that was also like, and my doctors should have the answers. Like the people that are supposed to be experts that I'm trusting, that I'm going to. They should also be pointing me in the right direction. And it felt like the more people I went to, the further I got from having answers. Like I'd see a new doctor or practitioner and get so excited, I'd get my hopes up, and then they wouldn't be able to help and nothing would change. And meanwhile, my symptoms were getting worse. So I kind of hit this breaking point. Probably hit the breaking point pretty early on because, like I said, I don't like to not feel good in my body. But hit this breaking point where the pain, the fatigue, everything was getting so bad, and I wasn't getting better where I was, that I decided maybe I just need a change of scenery. So I planned to leave New York for the summer and go spend time with friends and family on the West Coast. I had lived in California a long time, and I'm from Washington originally. So I decided I'm going to go spend some time out there and visit all my people. And maybe it'll just be a nice change of pace at the very least. And right before I took that trip, this is one of the stories I tell in the essay in the Dare to Express book that I mentioned. Right before I left for that trip, I was having a conversation with my mom where I was like sobbing and admitting how hard it was being in this much pain and not having any answers and didn't know what to do. And she suggested that I reach out to my aunt, her sister, who is a naturopathic nurse practitioner and has spent her whole life in the field of medicine, specifically specializing in Lyme disease, and something that she has also lived with. And I remember feeling like I knew she was right. I knew I needed to reach out to my aunt, and I think I had been avoiding it because I knew the possibility of what I was going to hear. I had followed a couple other people, both on social media and in real life, who had struggled with chronic Lyme disease and saw enough overlap between my symptoms and theirs that I knew it could be a possibility. I also know, for those of you who are like, wait, Lyme disease, don't you get that from ticks? Like, that's the first question I usually get. Like, where did you get it? How did you get it? There's a lot of nuance to this, and I'm certainly not an expert in this field, even though it's something I've lived with. I'll just share my experience. There, ticks do carry Lyme disease, not all ticks, but certain kinds. So do other bugs like sand fleas on the beach. And I've had plenty of kind of like opportunities of exposure. I've gotten bitten by ticks as a child and teenager throughout my life in a cabin that we used to go to. And there were certainly times where I could have been exposed to it. And it would absolutely have explained all those periods of mystery symptoms that I was just kind of managing and couldn't quite figure out. And the real question then became like, why did I get so sick so suddenly? And we'll get to that in a little bit. But to make this part of the story a little shorter, I had a conversation with my aunt, told her what I was experiencing and all the symptoms I had had over that year. And she told me what she suspected. And she was able to suggest and order some more specific labs for me to run. So different than any of the blood work that any of my doctors had done, these were more specialized labs. So she helped me figure out where I could get those done. I got kind of everything in order, had the labs run, went to the West Coast, spent some time with my friends, and a few weeks later, got the results that came back to confirm that I did have Lyme disease. And as I mentioned earlier, kind of a whole host of other things. There's lots of what are called co-infections that can come with tick-borne illnesses. So Lyme is just like one strain of bacteria. There's lots of others that can often kind of co-mingle or coincide. And I had several of those. I had mold exposure because we later found out that my apartment in New York had black mold in it. And I had pretty high levels of toxic mycotoxins in my system. And there were some diagnoses that came later, and I'll get to that in a moment. But at that moment in time, that was July 2021, all of a sudden I had an answer for all these mystery symptoms from the past year and from like the past 15 years of my life. And it was such a relief and so overwhelming all at once. I remember like sobbing again to my best friend because I wasn't crazy. I had answers. It made sense why I felt the way I felt. And I was so scared about what was going to come next. Like, what am I going to get better? What does healing look like? How expensive is treatment going to be? Like, this is very daunting, and I've seen people really struggle with this illness, and I didn't want that to be my story. And I was really scared that it would be. I was really scared that I was going to be sick for the rest of my life. And that part of me that has a low tolerance for not feeling good in my body, that part of me was like, that doesn't get to be your story. I like adventuring and playing and being upside down and like moving too much to just throw in the towel and manage symptoms and be sick for the rest of my life. So it was this weird moment in time where I was so scared and overwhelmed and sad and relieved all at once, and then also determined to figure something out. And I had no idea what it was going to look like. The next steps for me after that point were just to start to like gather suggestions. So my aunt, from other Lyme literate doctors, from just Googling and doing my own research, I had people coming out of the woodworks sharing like their experiences or their cousin or their friend who had Lyme and wanted to reach out, or had an autoimmune disease and wanted to reach out. So I was getting a lot of information, a lot of it conflicting about what my next steps would look like. And again, feeling overwhelmed, didn't know like, what am I going to do next? What is like tackling this look like for me? Because right in the meantime, I'm still really sick and having a hard time managing my life. So the next kind of step of my adventure of that summer was to go spend about a month up in Seattle, where I'm from. And I didn't really have plans for it other than I just wanted to be up in nature and like breathe in the fresh air of being around trees and mountains and lakes after being in Manhattan in the city all the time. Not that I don't still love New York, but there's definitely a lack of nature there. So I go to Washington. I'm there. I'm feeling like shit. Again, it's still hard to get out of bed most days. I like get myself up and about to just lay in the grass in the sunshine or go soak in the lake whenever I could, but was still really not feeling well physically and emotionally, was so defeated. And I was doing a little bit of research. I wanted to find an IV lounge in the area to get like a vitamin IV just to give myself some energy. It's something my friend and I did in California. And thought it, if nothing else, it'll make me feel like mildly better, 1% better for a day. And when I was doing that research, I came across a medical practice, a team of doctors and naturopaths, many of whom were Lyme literate, one of whom who specialized in like the exact list of conditions I had been diagnosed with. And I was only in Seattle a couple more weeks. I reached out to them. They had one opening for an appointment with her for a new patient. I took it, met with her. She did like a deep dive into my history and the labs that I had. She ran more labs, added some more diagnoses to that list. And that's where kind of the autoimmune conditions came into play. And in that moment in time, I decided I was moving back to Seattle to work with her. It was so clear that that was going to be my next step. And I knew that it was going to be obviously a massive commitment to uproot and move my life and also to commit to a pretty intensive treatment protocol. And so this is what we're going to dive deeper into in the next episode, was what that period of time looked like. Like, what did I actually do? What were the some of the treatments I did? What did it look like to get better and at times like get worse before I got better? And then the layer that I began to explore more deeply, which for me was the most important piece of this whole equation, which was understanding the psychosomatic correlations and some of the unprocessed traumas and experiences that my psyche was holding on to in the past that directly correlated to the symptoms I was experiencing. So for some people, this is going to make perfect sense, and it's actually going to be such a relief to learn how your body works in this way. And for some people, this will be a massive paradigm shift and a drastically different way of thinking about health in your body than anything you've ever been taught. So in both the next episode, solo deep dive with me, but also the next guest expert interview I have with a practitioner of a field of study called German New Medicine, you're going to learn a little bit more about what I discovered and started to research and explore for myself in this next level of the healing journey. Because that little voice inside me that said, this isn't it. You are not going to be sick for the rest of your life. I don't buy it. I refuse. There's that part of me that's like, this will not be my story. That part of me led me to researching and discovering alternative modalities and healing philosophies and schools of study that helped me understand my body on a much deeper level than I ever had, and to understand exactly why I was having the symptoms that I was having in the patterns I was having them in and the timing that I was having them in. It made sense of everything for me. And the biggest thing it did was help me resolve a lot of the fear of symptoms. Anybody who's been in chronic pain knows that the fear of triggering or setting off those symptoms, or when they do come on, the fear of like, how long is this going to last? What does this mean? That can sometimes be more intense or just as intense as the symptom itself. And for me, that was definitely the case. I had a lot of fear around flare-ups and around like what I could and couldn't do. So we're going to explore that in a lot more depth in the next couple episodes so you can get a better understanding of how you can use this information to learn your body better. That's really the purpose of all of this. Not just in me sharing this in the podcast series and sharing this online in general. It was the purpose for me in my own life going through something so challenging and painful and dramatic. Not that I'd recommend it to anybody, but it ultimately led me back home to a deeper, more authentic, more honest relationship with myself and with my body than I've ever, ever, ever had before. It led me into deeper practice of the somatic tools that I offer in my therapy and coaching practice. It led me into a more confident version of myself, more embodied version of myself. There's so much that it opened up for me and helped me heal and resolve and let go of from my past and step into this version of me who I get to live life as now. And we'll talk again more about that in the second half of this episode where I talk about what life looked like after healing. And I hope that that's the same for you, that these conversations open up doorways for you to have a deeper, more honest relationship with yourself and feel more at home in your body. That is my goal in sharing about this. So make sure you come back to tune into the next few episodes in this series. If you have questions that you'd like to see me cover in more depth, go ahead and send me an email or send me a DM on Instagram. Both of which are linked in the show notes below. I love hearing from you guys. I love answering your questions on these topics and again, helping you feel supported because I know what it feels like to feel lost and to be struggling. If you're looking for more self-guided support and resources, I have a new program out that is centered around helping you learn to speak your body's language again and to decipher and interpret what's going on in your body. It's a self-guided course. It's really accessible and affordable. It's called Belonging in Your Body, and you can check that out in the show notes as well below. And then, like I said, we'll dive deeper in the next couple episodes and we'll give you kind of more of a jumping off point to really wrap your head around this new way of thinking, this new paradigm of relating to your body. If you know anybody who's struggling with chronic illness or pain or symptoms or feeling disconnected from their body, share this series with them on the podcast. It could be so helpful for them to know that they're not alone and to feel seen and supported in what they're going through. So thank you for your support of this podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing it with whoever you think it might resonate with. And if it's all resonating with you, it would mean the world if you leave a rating and a review in the podcast store. So thank you again, and I can't wait to dive in more next time. As always, have a happy, healthy, and love-filled day.